We have this week. There's so many things I was sharing with different ones today. There's so many areas you could go in when you're dealing with the amount of information that's given just in one Torah portion. And there's a couple of things that I want to point out, and this will go right along with what we're going to be looking at. You know, we look at years in. This is what as the world views years in, but we don't see God. He doesn't use at this time in Scripture. He tells us when the first month of the first year is, and that's stuff that we participate in as far as when we're doing our feast time. So that we know that it starts and ends in the mind of God, but it's not this particular time. Yet we live in a world that recognizes that, and because of a business, what we do as people here, we abide by those starts and stops, because after the day, whatever you make tomorrow goes on in the following year, right? As far as tax, that's just a system that we go by. But what you're going to find with that system is you're going to have people who will step up, and they'll call themselves prophets and prophetess, and they're going to say, this is your year. This is going to be the year to rein it in. Because it's going to be in with a seven, right? They're going to make all kind of suggestions on 2017. It's going to be this and that. That's not what we should be looking for. What we should be looking for is the Word of God planted inside of us, that we rest in that word, that there's no fear. Let me tell you what those prophecies are nothing but fear tactics to cause people to do something, and somehow or another they can gain out of what they do. So they'll give them, this is the year to sow. This is the year to sow, you know, it's because it's seven ending. And it's out there. All you do is search online, and it's out, all the messages out there. And it's sad that's what's taking people. So there's a lot of people in the church world today is looking forward to 2017. Like this is going to be, and it's being laid out by those in leadership that this is going to be something incredible. And this is what you need to do. You need to do this or do that. And then God's going to do this. Let me tell you, as believers, what we ought to do is what God says. We ought to take him at his word and rest in that. So this is what this Torah portion is about. It's us understanding that when God says something, well, whether he gives that by dream, in this case, he was given it by dream. So he gives Joseph a dream, not in this portion of the reading, but before this portion, when we went over it, he gave him a dream. And he said, you know, he saw how that they were binding sheaves. Remember when we talked about that? And he said, we bind our sheaves. And he says, your sheaves bow to my sheave. Then he saw the stars, the sun and the moon. And he said, everything made obedience to me, gave obedience to me. And he said, well, how in the world is this possible? And even Jacob said, what, are me and your mother going to bow to you? Well, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to Joseph at the time. But he knew one thing. The Lord gave him the dream. He was going to hold on to it. He wasn't going to be the one to bring it to pass. He was just going to rest without fear in what the Lord said. And so, you know, his brothers, obviously, they're upset about him. And his father kind of leans towards him and gives him a coat of many colors. And he's, you know, he's the one that his father loves the most. And we're just going to do away with him. We're going to get rid of him. He's going to be out of our hair. We won't have to listen to this dream and all these dreams. And that's nonsense. And so they get rid of him and you know, do him harm by putting him in a pit. And then they sell him as a slave. And he's gone. He's gone. They're not thinking about him. No, it's over. But they have no idea that when God does something. See, people, how many of you know people live in, and it's not real what people live in? They live in a world that's not real. It's all made up. And especially in social media time. Do you know that social media has captivated the audiences around the world? And people live within that realm. That social media realm. They live in that realm. Some people will make decisions based upon what they find out in that realm. But it's not real. None of that's real. What our decision making ought to be is what? What the Lord said. What did He tell me? What's the last thing the Lord asked me to do? Did it come to pass yet? If it hadn't, you do what? You wait patiently for it to come to pass. Did Joseph show us how to be patient? In reading his story, did he show us how to be patient? You know how many days he must have said, well, did it come to pass yet? Nope. Well, okay, I'm going to hold on. Another year goes by. Did it come to pass yet? No. Well, guess what? I'm going to hold on. So he didn't let years or change of year dictate what the Lord said. He was going to just continue. You know, tomorrow will come. It'll just be another day. The only hope we have is in the Word of God. You got to hold on to the Word. Because some people will see, they'll see a change in year as a disappointment because they couldn't accomplish everything they wanted to, in 2016. So now they're going to say, well, this year. Well, this year. And that's what, how many of you have seen that happen? It happens a constant thing. Well, this year I'm going to do this. And this year I'm going to do that. And it's not the first time that's been said. We tell ourselves that, and we continue to tell ourselves that. But that behavior is not what God wants us to live in. What He wants us to, what did He say, and has that come to pass yet? If it hadn't, you continue to hold on to the promises and be patient. That's what Joseph practiced. And so, he's sold into slavery. He finds himself as a slave in a house. And things are going, you know, seems to kind of be on an up climb for him a little bit. Then it all goes back down again. Because he's accused of something he didn't do. He winds up in the prison. And this prison wasn't just like, you know, nice and fancy. As a matter of fact, they say, get him out the pit. When we read it just now, what did they call that prison? Called it the pit. So he was in the inner part of the prison. He said, well, but he was in charge of the inner part. Well, absolutely. Doesn't matter where Joseph went, God promoted him because he was what? Patient. He was patient. So we see that happen. So Joseph's waiting. Two fellows show up. The cupbearer and the baker, they show up. They have dreams. What does he do? What is Joseph? What's the anointing on his life? The dreams. His dreams. Dreams come to him, and then he goes to the Lord. Just can Joseph interpret the dreams, or does he rely on Yahweh for the interpretation? Well, we take him what he said, right? What did he say? He said, I can't do it, but I know who can. So that's, and how many know that we see today is we see people take ownership on gifts. That's what we see. They say, well, I can do it. Before it was the Lord, the Lord's going to give me the strength, and before long, I can do it. And books will be written, and you follow these seven steps to dream interpretation, and yada yada, and it goes on and on. And they take ownership. He never did that. We don't find that in Joe. He never did that. He said, if the Lord, the only one that can give interpretation, that's the Most High. And He always gave those answers. So, he tells them their dream, just like he said. He said, but remember me. Well, they forgot him. Well, he could have got upset again. How many times Joseph could have got upset? You ever wondered how upset we get? Over less than half of that stuff. So he had multiple times to get upset. Did he get upset? He never did. How many scripture you read where Joseph says to the Most High, I can't believe that you got me in this spot. We don't find that. He just waiting patient, being patient. The Lord said it. The Lord said it. But here's that. It's not just patience. He waited with no fear. Because if you wait and you can be patient, but if you have fear and anxiety, you're going to have the most miserable patient wait you ever had in your life. And you don't want that. So you can be patient, and still be miserable because you're in fear. Joseph was patient with no fear. No matter what happened, he didn't let it distract him. They said, okay, we'll remember you. They get up there, they forgot him. Huh? He could have took this position. I can't believe it. I pulled my heart out. I'm doing all the praying. I'm doing all the seeking God. And look how they don't even remember me. 2 full years. That's how our reading starts, by the way. 2 full years. Pharaoh dreams. And he starts telling them, who's going to help me? Nobody can help him. And then he says, oh, I forgot. They got this guy. He's in the prison, the pit, where I was. But he told me about my dream, and it happened. He said, I would be restored, and here I am. You restoring me. He can tell you. They get him out. Now there he is. He could have said, what happened, man? I thought we had a deal. You said you were going to remember. He didn't pay no mind to that. That was because he didn't operate in fear. He was patient. He just knew that where he stood, that was appointed by God. He knew that. That's the key. Because how many know you're going to have a lot of opportunities to point your finger across the aisle? It's been in your past, and it will be in your future. You have lots of opportunities to say, she, or he, or why this? You have all sorts of opportunities to do that. But that's up to you. You can choose to say, you know what? I'm going to be patient with no fear. Because I have a word from the Lord. Not from somebody else, from the Lord. The word says, that's why we're going through the word. Let the scripture speak to you. Whether I'm the one standing here directing the teaching or whoever it may be, let the word speak to you. That's important. And so Pharaoh gives the dream, and Joseph begins to interpret it. Well, he goes into great detail about this interpretation. He tells him. Now, one of the things that stood out to him, I was sharing this with Brother Herman because he mentioned something to me today. In the moment he mentioned it too, because I was kind of wrestling with some of these statements in the Torah portion, just wrestling with them, not trying to figure them out. I was just, my wrestling with Scripture is I don't want it to, I think about it, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, what is this about? What is your spirit? Share with me. What is this about? Where does this lead to? But you notice when Joseph says to Pharaoh, he says, the dream was twice because God, Elohim, has established it. Now you look that up. If he establishes it, meaning the date set, you're not getting out that date set. So he's saying to Pharaoh, take what I'm telling you serious. It's not might happen. It will happen, and it's going to happen on a certain day because Yahweh has established it. So he's letting him know that if it's been established, if the date's been established, say you have something planned. What's your next plan? Where are you going next? What's your next date on your calendar? You have any? Nothing? Y'all have nothing coming up? Okay, what's the next thing coming up? Okay, what's the date? All right, January 7th. All right, now, there ain't no stopping time out. And you get like an extra day added to it. Do you understand that time, once that date was set, time don't stop and pause for you to get extra time to prepare for that date. It's set. You don't get time out. When he says, he gave it twice to establish it, he's telling Pharaoh, you don't get a time out. Make your mind up right now, because if Yahweh says it twice, it's been set, the date set. So does time quit? So a second later, are you closer to that date? What about 2 seconds, 3 seconds? You're getting closer and closer as we speak. You're getting closer to the day that you better get ready. You better prepare. So when you get a dream, and you get it twice, that's significant. or if you're reminded of it. How many has ever been reminded of a dream? Maybe you had a dream and then something happens and you're reminded of that dream. That's significant. Who was reminded of the dream all of a sudden when he finds out Pharaoh can't get no interpretation? Who was reminded? The one who was restored. Oh, so sometimes you get reminded and sometimes you get it twice. It's very significant that you take, because time don't stop. That's God telling you it's about to happen. That's very important. So the moment you know the date set, if it's established, time doesn't stop. So he's telling, this is urgent. You got to get with it. What are you going to do? And so what does Pharaoh do? He said, well, I need some time. I'm going to think about it. He says, I already know the guy. You're the guy. There ain't nobody that I could find that's got more wisdom and more understanding who can do this job. So what does he do? He promotes him. Makes him governor over the entirety of Egypt. Puts a ring on him, a signet ring. He said, the only time I'm more powerful than you is when I'm in my throne. Other than that, whatever you say goes. Think about that. How did he get there? Patience. Now, let me tell you what you don't do. You don't let promotion get you in a position where pride comes in. Promotion could lead to pride if you're not careful to keep the same posture that got you to the promotion. Think about that. A promotion that you get, if you're not careful, can lead to pride if you don't keep the same posture you had that got you the promotion. Very important. Joseph just kept cool. And so how do we know that? Because time's going to tell. 7 good years, he did everything the Lord told him. 1/5 of the grain, let's store it up, let's prepare. He's telling them they're listening. Famine hits the land, people are starving. Now listen to me about famine. Famine is what is going to be something that a lot of people face in days to come. Now, I'm not going to say in this year. I'm talking about days to come because I'm not bound of 1 year ends, the other year starts. We're not subject to that. This is another day. Tomorrow's another day. That's one more day closer to the return of Yeshua HaMashiach. That's how I'm seeing it. But there's going to be people who will be subject to famine and they won't know it. Let me tell you why. When I was reading this and going over it, the Lord showed me something here. Famine, in our mind, we get it where it means you don't have anything. But that wasn't the case. They had money and they had plenty of it. How many read that? I said, they had money and they had plenty of it, but without the help of God, they were all going to die from a famine. So you can have a famine and still have stuff. And so we have to see the significance of what's going to happen in the days ahead. There's going to be people who's going to have stuff, and they're going to be able to buy stuff, but they'll be in a famine. How many want to know that God will take care of you in that famine? There's only one way we're going to be able to get there, though, and I'm going to tell you in just a little bit. Only one way for us to be able to get there. Now, Joseph was prepared for the famine. Now, how many know that the Egyptians had stuff, and they had plenty of stuff? They had the best governor for 7 years they'd ever seen in their life. Yet, with all the gold and the silver they had no grain. What is the grain significant of in the scripture? What you do with grain, you make what? You make bread. What is the bread equal to when we read in the scripture? The what? The word. Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. Who was the word made alive? Who was the word made alive? Christ. Think about that. Yeshua HaMashiach. He was made alive. So think about that. You can still have stuff and be in a famine. You can be without bread. Nobody needs to be without bread in the days to come. Amen? We don't want to be without bread. So what happened? The Egyptians had to come. So we don't, a lot of times we don't read the story in its entirety. We read, we don't get everything. The Egyptians who were in Egypt, who had the best governor for 7 years, they go to Pharaoh. We starving. We got gold, we got silver, we got houses, we got chariots, we got everything. We got no bread. What does he say? Don't tell me. Go to Joseph. You go to Joseph because he's the one get you out that mess you in. Joseph is a type of Christ. Nobody is going to give you some famous prophecy about 2017 that's going to get you out the famine. You got to go to Jesus because he's the bread of life. There is no grain nowhere else. How many understand that? There's so many wonderful. I told Brother Josh and Brother Chad, I said, you can preach on every verse we read. You don't know where to start, but you want to preach on all of them, but you don't have a little bit of time. But I was just telling you the high points of how powerful this is. And so what did they do? They go, the Egyptians go to Joseph. Then who else has to come to Joseph? The Israelites, Jacob and his boys. They come. He could have took his time right there. Okay, now's my turn. Listen what you need to get in the days ahead. Get rid of the got to get even type spirit. Because they ain't going to get you nowhere. Get even. When get even enters your mind, the next thing needs to enter your mind, get over it. Because get even gets you nowhere. Because if anybody on the way we scale things had the right to get even, it would have been Joseph. That boy went through it. And, you know, we sit back. How many always you push for the underdog, you know? He was the underdog in this. And you're pushing. Get him now. Get him, Joseph. They done you wrong. What did he do? That's okay. He had one goal. What was his goal? Get his father there. And he knew if he could get the young brother there, daddy was coming next. He was going to bring the family together. That was his goal. Notice how he played with him. He says, talking about wisdom. He had wisdom. He said, I got to keep one. I'll send him back. Then I'll tell him you got to trade him off, bring the younger. Once I get the young here, daddy's coming. It's a done deal. I'm going to bring the whole family here. Was it to hurt him? No. It was to show him that for all the way back, the beginning dreams, that's what God says. Was it to make Joseph be the high guy and them to be the low? That me and your mom, you mean me and your mom's going to have to bow to you? Really? He didn't say it in that way. He was just telling the dream. That's what the Lord said. Sometimes the Lord will give you something, and it won't make sense to nobody else. In fact, some other people might say, you know what? That boy's always dreaming. If you let go of what God shows you because you're worrying about what people think, it's not on them that the consequence of suffering will come upon you, but it'll be on you for letting go of what God said. Listen. If you're going to give up on anything, give up on all the nonsense that's out there that guides people's life. It's the truth. You can social realm guides people's life. Get rid of that and just talk what God said. Days ahead, the next days ahead, let it be what God said because that's the key. And so he brings everybody there. And the one part that ministered to me in such a way, he left the room at one point. And he got by himself. And can you imagine being there hearing those words? Oh, God, you're so amazing. Look at you, God. I bet you he was so thankful. Now, a single day did he have, he was being patient with no fear. Because he believed the word of God. It's not an easy thing to do. But the only thing can cast out fear is perfect love. You got to love God so much that you're not going to let fear come in and steal and rob from what you know God promised you. Now, I told you that we would be entering into a time where we'd have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor. Remember that service? As ourselves. So it's going to be days ahead where it's going to be put in your heart to minister to people. Might be one person. Just one person. For the entire year, for one person. You pray for them every day. You visit them. You speak into their life. You write letters to them. You send them scripture. If they're on social media, don't worry about a hashtag and anything else. You send them the Word of God. If you want to do it, do that for that one person. You don't let up. Not a single time do you let up. You hold on with everything. That's my focus. That person right there, the Lord's going to put it in my heart. It's going to be written in my heart that I'm going to work with that person. I won't give up. Not one single time am I going to give up. You know, we look at the life of Joseph. He didn't give up. He hung on to the promise of God. He didn't let anything bother him. He just hung in there. And you got to know that he had to maintain a close relationship with the Most High, or he'd have never been that successful. There's no way he would have been that successful. Because if you want to talk about discouragement, he had every opportunity to be discouraged. Every opportunity. And he wasn't. He just hung in there. And that's important, very powerful. Now, one of the things that I'm going to point out, and then I'm not going to keep you long on this, is Zechariah. This is going to go right where we're going in the days ahead. Zechariah. I want you to go there. We're going to read it again. We're going to look at some things here in Zechariah and show you some things about what the Lord is saying here. Now, we know that the famous statement in there is, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, there's a reason that is in here with the story of Joseph, because no doubt Joseph lived by this principle. Not by my might, nor by my power. How many times he felt helpless, hopeless, weak? If you're in a pit and you've been put there by your own family, you feel discouraged. You feel down, weak. I'm done. Then you get pulled out the pit. You feel like, okay, maybe they changed their mind. And then they sell you. You talk about that's a double letdown. Sell you as a slave. You're a nobody. You're nothing. You're trash. And then he goes and he's a slave. And so he's glad to be at least in a house where he's a slave. He can clean, do whatever. And he gets promoted because every time he touches something, it just is supernaturally blessed. The guy's, man, I want that guy. You be ahead over all the slaves. So you're a slave, but you're the head slave. So he's got a promotion. Then he gets lied on, and he can, again, he just holds on. And he winds up in prison, and then he's in prison, he becomes head over the prisoners. And so God's working in his life, but it's different. Some different things happening. You know, what we want, we paint, how many of you ever painted how you'd really like it the days ahead? You know, we want to just, you know, if I could pick, we would write our life and it would be smooth. There wouldn't be no bumps in the roads. None of that goes wrong. We can write our life. How many of you had to write your life, you'd write your life when you'd start out plenty of money? Kind of on the top. Rich. Right? I want moolah. This is what you do. I mean, I want to be handsome. Built. Right? Hair, I mean, forehead, whatever you like. You'd write your life. This is what I want. I want this, I want that. And you'd write it, no problems. Well, the thing about it is, you might not be writing your life to the T, but your life is what it is. And we ought to be patient without fear, because we're going to trust God in what we're going through. Now, if you want to write it, you can. You probably won't get none of the stuff you put on the list. But what about God's oversight over your life? Because that's who had Joseph's oversight. It was God. God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. He's going to dream. He's going to be sensitive to my spirit. He's going to see things, and he's going to speak those things. And then, I'm going to put him in a pit here. God? Are you listening, God? No pick. Joseph Wright in his life, and I'm just going to be famous. Coat of many colors, the best looking son. But God writes and says, slave. And then God writes in prison. And then God writes again in a palace. Wow. See, we write palace. See? We don't want the road to the promotion. We don't want that. We just want the spot. Let me tell you, every one of you here, you've been on a road to promotion. The moment you came to know Christ, the road to promotion. You remember the guys that were fishing? They loved what they would do. And he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They left their nets and they followed him. And then, what did they leave? They left their life. The life that they thought would be. And they sought the life that he had for them. Are you going to seek the life he has for you? Where you sometimes will have to sacrifice your time and your effort. You're going to have to make it a point. Because what does God want for my life? He says, you want to know some things. Because somebody says, well, I don't know what he wants. If you read the scripture, I'm telling you, you'll find a lot of stuff out about your life that he has for you. Because well, number one, he says, you are the light of the world. I'm a light? You mean I'm a light? Yeah, I'm a light. You are the salt of the earth. He's telling us the parts about our life. Once we start following him, you are fishers of men. That's what you do. Think about that. How many want to live to the life that he's written for you? That's what Joseph did. And in that writing has all sorts of things. But God began to change some things. So let's look at Zechariah. And it says then, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of Yahweh, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Now, get this scene. Now, how many know we've seen this scene before? It's not the first time. This shouldn't be a shocker. You remember the sons of God come before the Lord, and Satan came also. So there's times that Satan shows up. And so now he tells us, why is he there? Why is Satan here? Accuse. To make an accusation. You think Joseph maybe in his life may have faced some of that stuff? How many's ever had a time in your life where you was in a spot where you felt alone? In a dark place. What is the enemy going to do? Do you think he's going to leave you there? No, that's when he's going to come and say, you see you? Look at you. You never amount to nothing. You'll never be anything. You're never coming up out of this pit. That's when the accuser shows up. But notice this. I want you to notice something. He showed me Joshua the high priest, the angel of Yahweh, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And Yahweh said to Satan, Yahweh rebuke you. Oh, Satan. That wraps it up right there, don't it? Listen, when Yahweh rebukes you, you've been well rebuked. Yahweh, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. It's not this, a brand plucked from the fire? Listen, some people don't know. Some of you don't even know how unique you are. You have no idea. You thought, you know, I made some good choices in my life. You have no idea the position you're in and the uniqueness of what God has purposed and planned for your life. And when the days ahead, how he wants to use you, incredibly use you to impact people's life. What's the trick of the enemy? Accuse you, and to always have you in a false sense of the accusation that's been posed against you, to think that that's who you are rather than what God has purposed and planned for your life. You're nothing. You're nobody. You show me where you've been. You've done nothing. You've been away from your family all these years. He had all of those things. He accused him daily, being accused. And when he would fight off all those accusations from Satan, he would have people, human people, accuse him of something he didn't do. Listen. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with what? Pure vestments. Listen. He said, remove the filthy garments from me. What was Satan there to do? Look at him. He's pitiful. He's a nothing and a nobody. He'll never go nowhere, never be nothing. What is God doing for on our behalf? He's standing up for you. Isn't that incredible? When you feel like you're in a pit, I want to tell you, Yahweh's standing up for you. You know what he's saying? Just hold on. You trust what I told you. You might be there now, but you're getting out of here. You get out and you feel like it's getting a little bit better, and then you get sold. Come on, God, what's going on here? You know what you do? You just rest and trust him. Trust him and watch what happens. Now he does this, and he says to him, but I've taken your iniquity away from you. I will clothe you with pure vestments. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of Yahweh was standing by. So now the filthy garments are gone. The headdress that was needed to be new, now it's brand new. And the angel of Yahweh solemnly assured Joshua, thus says Yahweh of hosts. Notice this. If you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Anybody want access? Let me tell you, I want access in the days ahead. I can't get access because notice access comes after all the stuff I got to do to get there. Remember, we want... Lord, I want this and I want that. We always put everything ahead of what we need to do in order to get there. I'm going to go back over this again. I want you to see when I get to the part where you're willing to stand up and do this, you'll see. And this is what he says. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, not in the ways of the world, not a ways in the pagan, walk in my ways and keep my charge. Then you shall rule my house and have charge in my courts, and I will give you right of access among those who are standing here. That's a wonderful promise. Amen. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servants the branch. Now, this is key. Remember this. There are people who are with you. Some of us don't even know who those folks are. What is that? That's the sphere of impact. You, as a person, each one of you, you have a certain sphere of impact that you're going to impact. Those people are with you. We don't realize that we have a responsibility for those. Let's take it and break it down. There's a certain sphere of impact and responsibility you have as a person. Number one, you have a wife. It's your responsibility. Secondly, you both have children. Your responsibility. They're not to be handed over to the state and somebody else tend to their needs. Your sphere of responsibility and impact is to the wife and those children. That's been set. He's not going anywhere. That's his impact. That's his responsibility. Do you understand, as individuals who serve God, we have that impact doesn't just stay within the close, immediate family and that circle. It goes beyond that. How many understand that? It goes beyond. It goes into immediate, close relatives. Then it gets into the friends. Whatever that impact is, Sometime we'll say, well, you know, you ever heard the term, well, you know, they run in this circle. Well, listen, don't take that strange statement. That's a fact. There is a circle you run in, but we have to impact that circle in a positive way to give light and salt to that circle. And are we doing that? That's the question. Are we doing that? What did Joseph do in every sphere, a circle he was put in? What did he do? What did he do? He impacted it. In the presence of the king. We're talking about Pharaoh. He got his present and he impacted him in such a way. He said, Pharaoh, listen to me. Listen, God's going to answer you. He had a bonus come on him. He said, if he gave it twice, it's established. Your seconds is ticking away. You got to do something. He made a decision right then and there. He said, you the guy. He impacted. He made a difference. How many want to do that in days ahead? Well, it's up to us. Because we can. Listen to what he said. I will. If you walk in my ways, he said, I'll give you the access. Now hear now, O Joshua, high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch. For behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares Yahweh of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. And in that day, declares Yahweh of hosts, every one of you invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree. How many see that? How many see that we got a responsibility? Come under the vine and under the fig tree. What's the vine that we under? Are we under a different vine? What did Christ say? He said, behold, I am the vine, the true vine. He calls it, I'm the true vine. He said, you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Then he talks about what the vine does, how you know we connected to the vine. He said, because every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, right? He said, then we get rid of it. But he said, the ones who bear fruit, he said, what do? We purge it. It's still a cutting. How many know that just because we bear fruit, we don't arrive? How many of you ever seen had a fruit tree? My dad has fruit trees. It bears fruit and does good. So all of a sudden, it's doing good. You're going to say, oh, that's it. It's a fruit tree. It's always going to be. Sometimes it needs purging or pruning. Because it starts to get, it'll get a disease, stuff will attack it, it won't get bear fruit. You start cutting it, trimming it up, it starts getting green, it blooms better, and it begins to produce more fruit. How many thank God that he does that for us? Amen? So, I wish I had time to cover it all, but it's a very short teaching. In that day, declares Yahweh of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree. How many ready to do that? Anybody here ready to invite your neighbor to come under the vine and under the fig tree? Now, let me read a couple things to you that I have here. And 4:6, which we read just now, and he answered and spake to me, saying, the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, I want you to look at this. We're going to look at this is key, and then we're going to close up. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me like a man who was awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? And I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps on it with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left of the bowl. Now the olive trees represent a continuous oil, no lack. The bowls need to be full of what? Oil, olive oil, in order for the lamp to do what? To burn continually. So what does he do? He doesn't just put a bottle of oil, does he? Puts trees. A continual. Constant supply. How many want constant supply? Let me tell you why Joseph had success. He had a constant supply of the oil from the trees. He didn't have a box. See, what we want to survive on, we're going to come to church and we're going to get us a little bottle of oil, a little feel-good bottle. And you can buy them sometime online. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Get you a cloth or something. Get you a seed in a jar. You can get them. You know, send 100. Send 1,000, we give you all the prizes. People buy. See, we can chuckle about it, but folks are buying it up. Buying it up. It's going to be a better year. It's going to be my year. It's your year. It's your year. Thus says the Lord, it's your year. I'm telling you about trees with root systems. That's right there. That's what he's telling us. How many want a constant supply? When you get in a pit, you need a constant supply so you don't lose your mind. When you get sold as a slave, you need a constant supply so you don't lose your mind. When you get lied on and you're in a prison and they forget about you after you did everything you could to use all your gifts and your talents and your anointing, and you get forgotten, you know what you need? A constant supply. It just keeps burning. And it's burning, it's burning, and God can't stand it no more that you're burning so bright. He says, come on up out of that prison and let me put you in a position that I've groomed you for all your life. How many are ready to get to that spot? I'm talking about days to come. You get put in that spot. You've fought and you've wrestled and you've hung in there all this time. Let God put you in that spot that he wants to. So understand that about, and there are two olive trees, by one on the left, one on the right. And he said to the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, Do you not know what these are? Do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said to me, this is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, which was the governor then, but not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? When you get that anointing and that power, what does he say? Who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Anybody ready for that? Who else confirmed this? Who confirmed this? Who was the one who confirmed what was said to Zerubbabel? Remember, he said the branch is coming. I mean, remember I read to you the branch is coming. Who's the branch that comes? It's Christ. What did Christ say? He said in Mark, he said, you shall say to this mountain, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Listen to what it says here. He says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace. Grace to it. Now listen. Somebody in some generation is going to bring in the top stone. Is anybody here want to yield to the Lord to be a generation who can prepare to bring in the capstone? What's the capstone? What's that? Where you start at? So we're going to start building, right? Do you start with the capstone? Well, no. Where are you going to put it? So when they build these monuments, these pyramids, or all whatever, they start with a foundation. They lay it out. And then at the top would be what? The capstone. The top. What does he say here in this prophecy? He says, and he shall bring forward the top stone amidst shouts of grace. Grace to it. I want to tell you, in days to come, if you and I want to see the hand of God like we've never seen it before, I would completely immerse myself in the Torah portions. I mean, just go all in. It ain't going nowhere. This is not a trial run. I can tell you. I know folks might think this is a trial run. It's no trial run. We do in Torah portion. We're going to continue to do it. We want everybody to come. We want everybody to be here. But you can immerse yourself. Listen, if you can't be here, you still there's no excuse to not immerse yourself. But what I find, those who don't come don't immerse themselves. It's much easier to come and we get a little head start because we're helping each other by encouraging each other. But then you can go home throughout the week. You're constantly doing it and you come together. This should be a culmination of what we've been doing all week. This is what this should be. So I want to tell you, in days to come, listen to me careful. I'm going to give you a couple of things and then we're going to close. One of the hardest spiritual experiences you will have in your life will not be a new experience, but it will be revival. Listen, the revival experience, refreshing and rebuilding and rekindling the fire. So we think we need something new or something we don't have. What kept Joseph going was a constant revival and rekindling and adding in his. He kept rekindling the fire. He never let the flame go out. What folks want is they get burnt out and they're looking for somebody to start a fire for them again. That's what they want. I'm going to find me a preacher who can get me railed up, boy. Why don't we learn to keep the fire burning? Rekindle, rekindle, rekindle. How many of you have ever had a fire and starts to go out? You got to sometimes poke it a little bit. It starts to get, you add another log. That's what you do. Yeah, every time we do a Torah portion, you just add some more wood. You keep it burning. You want people to, in your sphere of impact, to respect, you know what they're going to look for? Consistency. What are you going to do? 5 years from now, we'll see. 10 years from now, we'll see. What about 25 years from now? We'll see. Are you going to still hang in there? That's the key. Keep burning. Keep going. And let me tell you, this is what you find a lot of times. One of the hardest spiritual experiences you'll have in your life will not be a new experience, but to revive the revival experience, refreshing and rebuilding and rekindling the fire. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Joseph didn't have that. He didn't have that, but what he had? But of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what he had. Let me tell you how I know he had power, love, and a sound mind. Because when his brothers come in, he didn't want to choke them. He had love for them. He loved them. Gave them grain, put their money back in their sack. They brought both monies back, both of them. But he was playing with them. He said, I'm getting my daddy here. Because if I get the young boy here, he loves him so much, he's coming. And when he gets here, he's going to get his boy back and me. Remember the one that was not? There's one that's not, one that's gone. They was talking about Joseph. They had no idea it was him. All right, and Zerubbabel realized this is the opposite came. Remember Nehemiah? Nehemiah was told the same thing. Build a wall, build a wall, build a wall. Could he do it with fear? Couldn't do it. He said, listen, we're not going to have any fear. We're going to protect ourselves. We're going to continue to build a wall. And that's something that is valuable and important. Zerubbabel was faced with the same area. The people surrounded the city were trying to do what it took to discourage the people, frightening them, stealing their supplies, making them distract with their own belongings. Then what belongs to God? And this is what was happening. These are the struggles they were going through. That's why he says, Zerubbabel, listen, listen. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's important. The devil will try to frighten us, devour us, and distract us. That's what he tries to do. Remember Satan shows up? What was he trying to do? Intimidating. Intimidate Joshua. He's intimidating. And he got rebuked. Amen? How many of you know the same rebuke that Satan got when he stood before Joshua the priest, the same rebuke he gets when he stands before you to try to distract you? The law rebukes him. So this happens to us today. The devil knows that if he can discourage us, then we are useless for God's kingdom. If he can discourage you, what good are you for God's kingdom? And that's what we're going to be talking about. Days to come, we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God. We're going to reveal the kingdom of God. That's going to be the title of the new series, Revealing the Kingdom of God. Discouragement shackles our vision to something for the Lord. It hinders us. And notice that the devil uses the same tactic. Listen, discouragement, what is that? It shackles. It shackles our vision and for us to do something for the Lord. How many know when you lose your vision, you're in trouble? People with no vision perish. And that's what discouragement does. It shackles the vision. You won't do anything for the Lord. How many want to have a vision in days to come to do something for the Lord? What's the one thing that we're going to encourage you this year to do for the Lord? One person. Find one person that you're going to write. You're going to whatever you do. We doing something. When you look at people and this is what they... You're doing something. That's fine. Use it for your good. Use it for the Lord. Message them. Instagram them. What is Facebook them. Snapchat them. Do whatever you got to do. But you stay involved. And you work one person. You tell them about the Lord. Tell them about the Lord. Now listen. I know some of you become more comfortable to pick somebody that's already been saved. That might not... If you'd ask God... He'll probably lead you to the lost. But see, I don't mind talking to somebody who knows some stuff. What about somebody who don't know? And you just start telling them. So pray. Ask the Lord. He'll lead you to somebody. Days ahead. What is tomorrow a day ahead? There you go. Just for the folks wondering when we start. The last thing, but praise God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear is not from God, nor of God. The only fear is reverence of God. Fear has no place in your circumstance. If you are making your decisions based on fear, then you will never accomplish much for the Lord." That's why we know Joseph had no fear. He wasn't afraid of what was going on. Not only will he will try to frighten you, but he'll also steal your joy if you don't watch it. What is he after? Your joy. Not happiness. You know, people say, you ever heard the term, you can't buy happiness? You can. That's a lie. People buy happiness all the time. But one thing you can't buy, and that's joy. Joy is unspeakable and full of glory. Joy is what the Lord gives you. He said, "The joy that I give, no one take from you." Happiness, listen, you buy happiness all the time. You ever bought something for somebody and they get happy? You just bought happiness. But you can't buy joy. Joy is something that happens that can't be influenced from anything on the outside. It's something on the inside that when the stuff's not going right on the outside, you're still singing that song. You're still singing it. You're still giving God praise no matter what. And that's what God wants you to have. And what's the devil after? He wants to come and take your joy. But how many read the scripture? No man take from you. Joy can be forfeited by allowing fear to come in. Finally, we notice that he will try to distract us, give us the idea that we need to worry about what is around us more than what God has in his work and plan for our life. How many want to focus on what God has for us? Well, I'll tell you, I was looking at all of this, and I was like, man, these guys get up here with these Torah portions. Man, they got to peel it back. You don't have enough time if you want to talk about everything. It's so full of stuff. And so I noticed that in all these Torah portions, there's so many things to do. So you can go back over them. And we'll continue to cycle through. I'm excited about getting through the scripture. And I pray that you're ready. You prepare in the morning. I'm not sure, you know, what part we're going to start with. It'll be the day when he comes. But I'm excited about moving forward based on the scripture that we have to do what God wants us to do. How many got a person the Lord been laying them on your heart already? Laying them on your heart? That's good. Hey, you lock in. Lock in. Well, how long got to be locked in? You locked. That's it. Done. You're gonna go forward. Let me tell you, I saw it, I told you, I shared this with you. What I saw? I saw people sitting with people. How many was here when I said that? I saw you sitting with people. I was like, God, who's all these people? The people I saw, I knew they were people, but I didn't know their face. Their face was no face. But they were people. The people they were sitting next to, I knew who they were. They were you. I knew everybody else, but I didn't know the people. There's people. There was no person sitting in. He didn't have a person sitting by him, but I didn't know who they were. I just knew they were there. So I want you to understand that if you're looking for God to do something, that's what he wants. Hey, listen, it's your obedience that can save the nation. If Joseph wouldn't have done what God said, you know how many thousands? I thought about this. Thousands upon thousands of thousands of people would have died. If all he would have thought about was, what about me? I'm the one been in the pit. I'm the one been sold as a slave. I'm the one been lied on. I'm the one been in prison waiting for my turn. What about me? He never thought about that. You know what he did? Every time the fire got a little low, because he was a human being. He was a human being. The fire got low with Joseph. You know what he did? He stoked the fire and put another flame on it. You know how you do that? You get your Bible. You get the Torah portion. You get a song. You listen to it. You call somebody up on the phone and you say, hey, give me a verse of encouragement. That's what he done. That's what Joseph done. That's not easy to do, because let me tell you what we want. We just want somebody to light a big old fire for us. That's what people do. They'll hop around. They're going to find the latest and the greatest. Somebody tell me something. Well, I'm going to tell you what our job is. And they don't want to hear it. You go and tell them, well, you mean I got to do it? Yeah. You stoke the fire. You start reading your Bible. You start praying and seeking God. And that fire, don't let it go out. That's the goal this year. We're going to do what? Days ahead. We're going to keep the fire burning. We're going to keep the joy of the Lord. We're going to keep the vision clear. And we're going to do what God called us to do. How many ready to impact your friends? Remember that. He said, them people with you, they're a sign. What's the sign? Remember that. All of, you read that and you go, what are they talking? They're a sign. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of signs around us in this peninsula and in our sphere of impact. There's a lot of them all over the country. A lot of people who's just waiting for somebody to say, you've been consistent. Hey, I'm checking on you. How you doing today? You might get one of them stories. Man, I ain't doing good. Back square one. That's okay. That's okay. Just want to tell you, the Lord loves you. He's for you, not against you. And I'm for you. It'll get to the point where maybe folks will run from you. You'll have that happen. They might run. How many know what you're going to do at that point? You're not going to give up. You're going to keep going. You're going to keep going. You're going to be persistent, consistent. And what's going to happen? You're going to have a breakthrough. How many ready for a breakthrough? Well, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. We're going to be here again in the morning. And we'll see which direction we'll go in. I do have to finish up the seed war. Bring that to a close. I may have to shift to a Thursday to finish that. I could probably finish it in a couple of Thursdays. But we'll see. We'll see what the Lord has for us. But we're going to definitely, if you want the title to the series that we're going to be in, it's going to be Revealing the Kingdom of God. Revealing the Kingdom of God.